Christ have to be born. And we want to look at just a few things in Hebrews chapter 10. And first thing we want to think about tonight is because of the weakness of the law, you know, God gave Moses the law on Mount Sinai, and we have what we call the Old Testament or the Old Covenant that was given to Moses. And the whole Old Testament is about the law and how they tried to live under the law. But the law is weak. And let me just read a verse from Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 3 says, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak, through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful men, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." That simply means that we weren't able to keep the law. The law could save no one. That's its weakness. It had no ability to save. And in Hebrews chapter 10, it says, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image." The law couldn't save because it was weak in that it was just a shadow. A shadow of the reality, which is Jesus Christ. And it says, "And the very image of those things can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers there unto perfect." And by the way, that's what it takes to get to heaven, perfection. And you and I cannot attain that. We never have, never will. But Jesus did. See, that's the thing. Jesus came to be our perfect, not only example, but our perfect sacrifice. Verse 2 here says, "Then would they not have ceased to be offered?" If these sacrifices in the Old Testament would have been sufficient, they wouldn't have needed to continually be offered. It says, "They would they not cease to be offered, because that the worshippers purged or cleaned would have no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again of sin every year." Every time a lamb died, every time, it was saying, "I remember your sins." And that sin would be just pushed forward over and over again until Christ came. That's what it was waiting for Christ to come and be the fulfillment of the law. So the law was weak. But the next thing we want to think about here in this chapter, and we're going to hurry right along, we're not going to take a lot of time, but not only the weakness of the law, but the wrath of God was not appeased through the law. The wrath of God could never be appeased by the law. You say, why? Because it was man who sinned. It was man's blood that had to be shed to atone for that sin or to appease a holy God for that sin. Because God is holy and He's a holy judge. He cannot overlook sin. He cannot sweep it under the rug. Can't be done. Because God is holy and He demands justice. And so you can imagine all the thousands and thousands and thousands of lambs, bulls, through the Old Testament who shed their blood. They were innocent. They didn't deserve to die. But they died as a picture or a symbol of what Christ would do when He came. And that's the last thing we want to look at. The last point is this. Christ was willing to come and do the Father's will. Look at verse 6 here. It says, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, then had thou no pleasure. Then said I, this is Christ speaking, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. What was that will? Well, he goes on and says, above, when he said sacrifice and offering, and burnt offerings, and offering for sin, thou wouldst not, neither had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. And again he says, then said he, lo, I come in the will of, to do the will of God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Took away the first what? The first covenant. The first covenant could not forgive sins. The first covenant could not save. The first covenant could not take a person to heaven. But he took away that first covenant and established the second covenant, which is the New Testament, which is Christ, who came and he said, a body thou hast prepared me. That's what Christmas is all about. That babe in a manger was when God began preparing a body, and that was Jesus, who grew up to be the Savior. That was Jesus who grew up to be our sacrifice. And we'll continue just a few more verses here. It says, verse 10, he says, by the which will that Christ came to do, we are sanctified. That means we're set apart to God through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. You know what that means? That means he died once. One sacrifice, not thousands and thousands of sacrifices, but one sacrifice for sin. For all. That means for all time and for all who will receive it. And there's a verse over in the next chapter, or in the same chapter actually, verse 17, and it says, in their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. That's a great thing. And what I want to do today, to offer anyone that's here that's never received Jesus Christ into their heart and life an opportunity. Now, Christ came to be our sacrifice, and he paid a horrible price. And yet, what we need to do is receive him. That's all. All who receive him, he giveth life. No man, anyone that comes to the Father, he will not cast out. You see, he wants to save people. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, and there's only one way. There's only one Savior. And it's not an animal to shed his blood. It's Jesus Christ who has done it. It's past tense. And he came to forgive people their sins, to cleanse them from all unrighteousness. There's no other name given among men whereby ye must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He said, I am the door. And there's so many ways he said that he is the one who brings salvation. But we have to receive that gift. The gift of God is not withheld from anybody. Whosoever will may come. But what about the whosoever won't? They won't come. And why would you, after Christ paid so high a price for your salvation, why would you turn your back and walk away from that? And a lot of people say, well, I'm going to, but I'm not ready yet. What if he came before you were ready? What if you had an accident and passed from this world? You never had a chance. I'm going to ask you to do something this morning. I'm going to ask you in a minute, if you're here without Christ. And by the way, this is the Christ of Christmas. I'm going to ask you to stand and say, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. You say, why would I ask you to stand? Because it would show that you have the courage of your convictions. You could sit there in a seat and you could say a prayer. You could ask Jesus to be your Savior. That would save you, but there's no accountability to others. That accountability is important. Because other people will pray and they'll help you. You know, it's being a Christian is not always a bed of roses, you know. It's the struggles. We struggle just like everybody else. The only difference is we have church people who pray for us. We have the Lord Jesus who intercedes for us. And it's a whole different story. And I'm going to ask anyone that would like to receive Christ today to just stand and say, well, you don't have to say anything, just stand. And by standing, you will say, I want to receive Jesus Christ. I want to receive forgiveness of my sins. Anyone else? It takes courage. But Jesus Christ is the only way. Anyone else? Amen. I don't want to hurry in case there are others. We're talking of eternity here. What's a few minutes of your time? We're talking eternity. And eternity is long. Anyone else like to stand? I know that the Lord is bringing conviction on hearts this morning. I know that. Let's ask the Lord to bless this time this morning. Father, we want to thank you. We want to thank you, Lord, that you alone can save. And there's none of this stuff of automatically going to heaven because we're a good person. Because the Bible says there's none good. There's none that doeth righteousness, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Jesus Christ is the only way. He's the only door. And Father, we know that you've touched hearts here this morning. And we thank you for those two who have stood and acknowledged that they want to receive Christ, want to live for him. Father, we pray that if there are others, they would make that known before this service ends. We'll thank you for the play and for those who took part in it. Thank you for Wendy who wrote it and directed it. Thank you for each one of the actors and the singers. Lord, we know you're a God who blesses. In Jesus' name, amen.